This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
We'll give you some updated information on Peace-A-Thon in just a moment. However, there was some fascinating breaking information out of Jerry Jones's mouth today. And Kevin, I'm going to extend it because we have Jane Slater coming up today around 12:40. She's going to be doing some locker room stuff at 11, trying to get some more information there. But she did a little hit on NFL Network yesterday that she was just saying it's very uncomfortable right now around the Star with the Cowboys and what's going on there because of the way that Jerry has approached losing this game against the New England Patriots. Now, Kevin, I love the fire people up idea, the get people motivated mentality, and I think Jerry might be lighting the fire at just the right time.
I think it's weird that that's the game, though, right?
No.
Do you not?
No, because you had a chance to beat the best team.
Okay.
You're now at a point, Kevin, that Bill Parcells kind of trained the Jones family to understand. This is the time of year where you got to figure out, you know what you are and how do you change it? How do you move forward from what you are? So this is the point right now. I think it might be less about the game. The game might have just been timed perfectly and more about the fact that your record is one game above 500 and in a situation where the playoffs could be on the line and a lot of guys could get comfortable. And do you really want to play for this coach? Do you really want to play for your quarterback? I think it's more about the quarterback than anything else. Jerry Jones has now been critical of both. And today on Good Morning Football, let's go to cut one first. A lot of people are begging for Jason Garrett to be gone. But Jerry Jones, I don't know if this is condemnation or if this is, hey, I have full support here.
Hey, no one in this country has earned the right to say I'm a Jason Garrett man more than me. I am his man, and we want the very same thing, and that's for our players to play at their very best, and we want his staff to coach at their very best. The bottom line is we get graded. I'm in business. I don't have to win the Super Bowl in business every year. I can come in sixth and have a hell of a year. But in this business, you've got to come in first. You've got to come in first, and so fundamentally, you've asked for something that's a very narrow window to begin with. I want Jason to get it done.
Right there. I just want to point out, I've heard this criticism for like 80 billion years, as long as I've been a Cowboys fan, and I have always disagreed with it. Jerry Jones cares more about money than he cares about winning. Bull crap. The only thing I think he cares more about winning is than winning and him getting credit for it. Right there. You just heard him. I can come in sixth and still make all the money. And he's not wrong because we have come in sixth for years and years and years and years. And he's made all and all and all the money. This is the most valuable commodity in all of sports. That's right, all of sports. There is no sports franchise on the face of planet Earth that is more valuable than the Dallas Cowboys, both monetarily wise and media coverage wise. And so I'm glad that he said that because that should like it. I don't know if it'll make people feel better because they're like, yeah, but what about, are you going to fire him now or what's the story? But you should know right there. I truly believe he cares more about winning than making any money off this team.
All right. At the very end when he said, and I want Jason to do it, was that I am sticking with Jason forever. I'm a Jason Garrett man, or he needs to get it done now.
No,
I want Jason to get it done.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think you combo the two things that he said. I know that sometimes Jerry Jones goes on twists and turns with what he's going to say, and you get an occasional folksy story along the way. But I do not think that those two things he just said are not absolutely 100% connected. He said, I want to win more than I want to make money. And what I just heard is, I want to win more than I want to keep Jason Garrett if Jason Garrett can't do the job. And I know people will say, well, then why isn't he already fired? That's a fair question that I don't have a good answer to, but it does start to push me further down the path that everyone else is seemingly on, that tick tock, tick tock.
I like this tweet from Jane. I think people are missing the point here. He's saying I've earned the right because I've supported him this whole time, but now I'm being graded on his poor performance, and he's got to step up. I want him to step up, but he has to.
100, so, yes.
So, yeah, no, I like, you know, and we always have to figure out how to translate Jerry and exactly what he's saying but I think everybody in the Star understands what he's saying about Jason Garrett. Now, what is he saying about Dak Prescott and his contract?
Let me just say this. I think all of us, including the fans, want to win a damn football game. Okay? Now, I know we've got a lot of other things to think about. Who's coaching? Who's playing? Who's compared to another player someplace else? How about let's win some ball games, folks? We can take out other stuff. I'm not known as a guy who gets hand cramps when I'm writing checks. But I want to win some football games.
I'm telling you.
I love that my hand cramps up when I'm not the
I'm
kind
not
of one.
Known as that. Yeah. There's another right there. Read between the lines. He just told you if they win, everybody, including Dak Prescott, will get paid. That's the thing. You want to know why Dak hasn't gotten paid? Win some games. You want to know why Jason Garrett hasn't got his contract extension? Win some games. So that could be good or bad, because if they win some games and make a run in the playoffs, well, that could mean that you get both of them. But on the flip side, you might also like go to the Super Bowl, and then I don't think anyone would particularly care in that scenario. But what I just heard him say is, we win games, everybody gets paid.
Yeah, and I think that's not just a message, Kevin, to Dak. Not just a message to Jason. I think that's a message to the entire organization right now. A lot of these coaches, do y'all want to be around? A lot of these players, do y'all want to play? Do you want to play with Dak? Do you like him? How much do you like him? He's without a contract right now. If you like him that much, what are you going to do at the next level of things? And, you know, it's interesting when you talk to some of the players and ask them about their interactions with Jerry. I always love Mr. Fourth and Long's interaction with Jerry. And he was like, whenever I was being brought to the stadium, I was told about each bolt and screw in the stadium that Jerry selected and how he selects each player to be part of what the Dallas Cowboys is. But beyond that, a lot of players say they don't get much interaction with Jerry. Because, you know, they have a little bit here and there. We've talked to some players that are like, yeah, I talk to him every once in a while, but not, you know, in depth all the time. But here's how I feel about it. They all feel that he wants to win. They all feel that that's his desire, is to win. And I like this. Somebody said, this is Jerry Jones busting Jason Garrett early in the week and now propping him up for the big game, getting him ready to go. Because this is a meaningful game. This is where it starts now. If you're trying to build to a Super Bowl championship, Jerry said it yesterday with Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. He said, let's start now. What do I need to see from coaching? It starts now. There was him yesterday saying, let's start right here. This is the game you have to win to start the build. Start the transition of being a 6-5 team to a Super Bowl champion. And that changes the entire dialogue. That changes everybody's dialogue on what this team is if they go on a streak and win. It's a fun day, Kevin, because tomorrow is a fun game. Everybody's eyes are on Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott tomorrow. And while the weather conditions were ridiculous up there in New England, right, you got to win those games too.
Yep.
Even if it's against the best defense in the league, you still got to win those games. And somebody texted in, Kevin, the reason that he's going after him right now is because they saw what would happen against a good playoff team. The Cowboys right now, if you look at the record of the Cowboys, they don't fit in the playoff mold.
No, absolutely not. They're going to be the team that makes it in that you're like, oh, that team's getting knocked out. I don't care. You know what they are right now? They're the home team favorite, the home team underdog. It feels like year after year, you will see that opening round playoff game with a home team underdog. And right now, who's going to be the home team underdog? It's going to be the Cowboys. Like, they look like the team that fits the bill of the home team underdog.
Yeah, and you know, based on what you see on the road, doesn't make you feel any more comfortable either, and you're going to have to be on the road.
I'm going to throw a stat out there for you that you're not going to like, but I feel like you should know. So the Bills at 8-3 have a winning percentage at 700 or better. The last five times the Cowboys have played a team on Thanksgiving with a winning percentage 700 or better, they've lost.
Oh, man.
You have to go back to 1999 for the last time they beat a team on Thanksgiving that had a winning percentage of 700 or better.
What are you doing right now?
I'm just giving you information.
Why are you giving me numbers that are depressing my turkey day? This is Peace-a-thon day, Kevin.
I'm just giving you the information that I feel is relevant to the Tolos.
This is Peace-a-thon day. By the way, so we will have all of the Cowboys coverage right here on 105.3 The Fan throughout the day. Anything that new that comes down, we'll be talking about it. We also have Brian Broaddus tonight. For four straight hours, we will talk with Brian Broaddus. He'll be on the pre- and post-game show tomorrow with Ari Temkin, my favorite pre- and post-game show in the entire world.
So you got
world.
Brian Broaddus on there with you?
Yes, Brian Broaddus will be on with us tonight, as well as Tattoo and Ryan Hollingshead from FC Dallas. By the way, found out Ryan Hollingshead is a big supporter of My Possibilities.
And he's got a story. If you need to like reevaluate your life and what you're thankful for, my goodness, does he have a story.
Kevin, you can go to 1053thefan.com/peaceathon, and you can bid on some auction items. I will tell you this. The Dallas Cowboys package that includes the team autograph football, two sideline passes, and two tickets to the game plus parking pass is already at $2,100. The Dirk jersey just sold for $1,800.
Holy smokes.
We still have plenty of awesome items up. The Amari Cooper helmet is up there right now. The Post Malone cans are up. The Nolan Ryan autographed glove already gone.
I'm telling you, that was so cool.
Derek Holland will join us in about 15 minutes. His Cubs jersey is up for auction right now, too. I'm looking forward to that one. I'm looking forward to talk to Derek because, Kevin, every year Derek Holland has joined us on this. He's the first person to ever donate to Peace-a-thon. He gave us our first ever jersey to auction off. That's one of the reasons we've always been a big fan of his, is because he's a really good guy. So we're really looking forward
he's
to talking to him.
He's our local Cam Newton.
Yeah, he is our local.
I feel like he gets a bad rap.
Yeah, he is our local Cam Newton. I'm looking forward to talking to him coming up at 10:20. Kevin, the other thing too, though, is here's my addition that I'm going to do. We have a little button that you can donate. If you want to donate $10, $20, $15, $100, but you can't, you know, hey, I can't purchase something for $2,100. I get it. Or if you want to donate $2,100.
Sure.
There's a button and you just click on it and donate right there. It'll give you options of what you want to donate. Kevin says if you donate $25, you can email him the receipt. And then you can come hang out with us in the studio. That's the prize there.
25 or more. I don't want to stifle you.
We're currently at $110 in just donations. If that gets up to $8,000, before 2 o'clock today, then tonight during the second part of Peace-a-thon, I will take a soccer ball to the stomach.
For leg action
from Tattoo, who's going to be joining us in studio.
I want everybody to keep in mind,
you get a
like
soccer ball tattoo on your
yeah,
stomach.
Yeah,
no,
that's a weird
maybe.
Thing.
Will you agree to put your hands behind your back when he kicks the soccer ball at you?
Can I tilt my chin down?
Yes,
so
yes,
that
you can.
If the ball hit me in the top of the head,
100%, no problem.
Yes,
you're making that agreement on air.
Yeah,
excellent. So just keep in mind,
what the hell's happening?
Just keep in mind the gut. Is really close to other spots. So if Tattoo was just a little bit off with his precision accuracy, it could hit him elsewhere.
So,
and it's for a good cause, people.
$10, $20, $25, $100 all adds up. If we get to $8,000 before 2 o'clock today, and you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to come in and just donate $8,000 and be like, all right,
yeah,
deal.
Me.
I wanted to see it. So I'm looking forward to doing that today as well, Kevin. In addition to everything we just learned from Jerry Jones, we got the big game tomorrow. That's going to be two teams rivaling each other.
Stop it. You can say the Cowboys and the Bills
as they used to in Super Bowls past. But
it's are we all going to jump on tables tomorrow?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know what, Kevin, if we get to $20,000 in donations, will you go through a fiery table?
Ooh, maybe just a regular table. A table that's on fire?
That's weak sauce, dude.
Oh, my God.
I'm ashamed of you.
I don't think that would ever get approved either.
Buffalo Bills fans do it all the time.
Yes, I know, but remember the last time we tried to put me through a table that got vetoed by corporate? I don't think a fiery table is going to work at all.
Corporate's not listening.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see exactly how things go, but just keep sticking around for Peace-a-thon all day long. 105.3thefan.com/peace-a-thon.
That's corporate listening?
P-I-E-C-E-a-thon. So stick around for that. Kevin, last night we did not get the outcome we wanted from Luka and the mighty Lukas.
Or from the Stars.
It was tough times. We lost, and you had the empty netter at the end of the game for the Stars. That buried that thing away 3-0. And then on top of that, Luka and the guys just look outmatched by the Clippers. And Kevin, the thing I heard at the end was when the Mavericks did what they did to Houston, they got the Clippers' attention. And the Clippers, you saw from the onset, came out. All of them showed up.
Yep.
And they came out and got ready to get after some business against the Mavericks last night. And you saw some of the deficiencies in what this team is.
Okay. I understand why you use the word deficiency. I'm going to use the word time, okay? So I think
I don't think you have anybody that can guard Kawhi on the post.
Well, and that's fair. I would argue many, many a team will run into that same struggle. I think that this was a good game to reset people's expectations of, like, the Mavericks are not right now among the elite of the elite in the NBA. They're a really good team who probably can cause some chaos in the playoffs. But when you looked at the Clippers just manhandled them. Like, that game probably could have gotten even more out of hand if Kawhi and Paul George saw fit to make that be a thing. But now you kind of see how far you are away to the measuring stick in the NBA. And I will just argue it's going to take some time. And that's one of the things where Corey talked about, even if you could just make it into the playoffs, regardless of what the instantaneous results were, that would be a huge, huge thing for Luka, Porzingis, and quite frankly, a lot of players on this roster. And I agree with that now more than ever, because going into a playoff series, if you saw the Clippers or the Lakers or the Nuggets or whoever, and if you got humbled in a 7-game series, I think that would be great for the players to see where they are and where they need to go. I say time. The Mavericks just need more time. If you need a more immediate thing for that game, they got out-rebounded by 10, and that's something that we've talked about time and time again. You need to be close enough in the rebounding edge or in the rebounding category, and if you can even be mediocre defensively and rebound-wise, this team could cause some chaos.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you on time, because I think yesterday's loss was a good lesson.
Sure.
So, but I think it's a time to reassess what you are and do your matchups work. And this is... So in a 7-game series, first game, you kind of have your plan. Then you really start the chess match in game two. Sometimes the chess master's already got the thing ready in game one, right? Like, sure. Sometimes they already got it figured out. But in game two, you start the chess match of, okay, here's how we're going to match up with these guys. Here's how we're going to do our rotations. But I think last night you got a good idea of, hey, maybe we're not everything we thought we were, especially at certain positions. Where can we get better? Where can we get stronger? What are we going to need? And I think physically, that was a stronger team. And, you know, we talk about not being good against fours. Well, that was a team that has the ability to be a bunch of different fours, too. While they aren't, they have the ability. Like, Kawhi plays like a four sometimes.
Sure.
So, you know, it's just difficult to stop him. So, lots of fun last night in the sporting world, and we're getting ready to talk about all of it today.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
I'm a fun guy.
Glad you guys are rolling with us for Peace-a-thon. Coming up next, we will welcome Derek Holland to the show. So stay with us right here on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, it is Peace-a-thon Day. We're happy that you're along with us for the ride this afternoon and this evening, as we'll be going 8 to midnight as well. And what we like to do during Peace-a-thon Day while we raise money for My Possibilities is we like to reach out to our friends and family and say, hey, hop on the show with us and let's talk about stuff. And one of the guys we consider family here is Derek Holland, who's the first person to ever donate an item for auction, and he was one of our first guests ever on Peace-a-thon. Derek Holland, welcome to the show today, man.
Thank you.
Now, we know that you are training today. You're going to be training out in Fort Worth. Do you want to give the destination so everybody can come train with you?
Yeah, come on out, man. It's APEC.
All right.
Fort Worth. Come check it out.
That's what I'm talking about. That's Derek Holland right there, that kind of guy. All right, so and I know Gallo is training today. A lot of guys I hear are kind of in that mode. Is this a time to start getting ready for the season already?
To be honest, there's no, like, the only offseason we really have, and people don't realize that, is we only have until the end of October, really. Most guys start up at the beginning of November. Some guys even start up, 2 weeks after the season ends. So it's all each person's preference. I usually take 1 month at least, and then from there I do my thing.
What is it that you work on? Because I know one off season you got bigger, and you were talking about what the training staff worked with you on getting bigger and stronger. So at this point in your career, what are you trying to look at to add for next season?
Well, I mean, consistency is one of the big things that I want. So I'll be working on pitching with my location. I noticed towards the end of the year when I was starting, I was starting to struggle with location. I was missing over the middle. But when I came in as a reliever, adrenaline takes over. So I had a lot better numbers as a reliever. But it's just one of those things, you want to work on that. And then obviously you're typical, you know, you're trying to gain more muscle mass, trying to condition the body, keep yourself in shape, and kind of just work on little things like watching video. What did I do wrong? What did I do right? Just kind of correcting yourself.
I was hoping you can walk us through, I guess, whether it was, you know, with the White Sox, the Giants, along the way, was there ever a time where you had any struggles, or I guess particularly the White Sox jumped to mind, where you thought this might be the end of the road for my major league career?
When I started struggling towards the end of the White Sox, that was a big one. It was a very stressful time. It actually got a little depressing because I thought for sure that the way that things were going, I was like, this really could be it. I was like literally in panic mode to like, what am I going to do? Like, I love this game so much. I want to try to give back. I want to try to coach. I want to do all that stuff. So I kept thinking constantly, like, what am I going to do? Because I feel like this is it. Like, I've reached the end of the road because I'm getting released. You know, I always joke about this with my friends, but September is when you call people up, and I got released on the day that you call people up. So it's like you expand the rosters, but I wasn't good enough to be a part of that. And that's when it hit me pretty hard, and I thought about, man, this really could be it.
So then when you get another, how much do you cherish it when you get that other opportunity and then are able to take advantage of that opportunity?
Honestly, every time I get a chance to go out there and try to prove myself and fix what I've done wrong, you know, when I got released, I motivated myself and continued to kind of push and show that I'm not done. I'm now 33, but I'm not done. I've got plenty in the tank still. I'm still throwing as hard as I pretty much was when I first got called up, maybe a little bit down from that. But I mean, I'm still the same guy. It's just now I gotta pay more attention to more of the analytics side because the thing that people don't realize is analytics has taken over sports in general. You can go from, I've heard you guys talk about it yesterday. I'm not trying to stir the pot anymore, but
no, bring it up.
That's what you do.
No, I know, I know. I was listening to Sean and RJ yesterday morning, and man, I felt bad because I heard Mickey talk about, you know, the analytics side, and people don't realize analytics has taken over the game. It may not have hit every single team, but it's on its way. Every team talks about it. Every team thinks about it. You see a lot of teams doing it. It's one of those things that when numbers are out there, they're going to help you to win, but at the same time, yeah, they're not going to work every single time. It's just like when you get a stat that says 9 out of 10, there's that one time it doesn't work. So it's going to happen that way. So with me, I've started to pick up on what is becoming of baseball, and a big thing is spin rate. People worry about the spin rate. They worry about the location, where people are hitting, where people are missing. There's so many things that we get now in sports that I've been in the league for 10 years, but 10 years is not that much. But for how much the game has changed in that time with the analytics side of it, that makes a big difference. And it shows when you're seeing all these guys that are – all the teams that I've played for, I should say, that are coming out with all these things. Like, I'm throwing bullpens when I was with the Cubs, and I had cameras on me watching me, my finger placement, the spin rate, the location. Every single thing was out there all because of the numbers. They want to put these numbers together, and they would tell me, hey, this is what's most successful for you. This is what's not working for you. So those are the things that I'm starting to really get a hold of and starting to use myself more. I bought myself one of the machines so that I can see my own spin rate, work on that, and try to improve my own game.
The other part of it, too, is I imagine each coaching staff has different things that they really want to look at more, or different analytics, different numbers that they're putting even into the game plan whenever you're going to pitch. So – was there a difference between, I guess, Wash to Bannister to Bochy to Madden?
Yeah, there's so with Wash, you know, Wash was very he was very at the beginning of the career for me of where analytics wasn't quite there yet. So he was still doing more of the coaching player type thing, where, you know, it's all of what he's experienced and what he's gone through that would help him and guide him. Which, at the end of the day, experience is the most we can get from anything. But as I was going through Bannister, that's a whole different story. And then we'll go to Madden. Madden is big into the numbers. He was using those kind of things, and those played. So when I first got traded, for example, when I got traded to the Cubs, I was still just a reliever. I was facing both righty and lefty. But because of my numbers against lefties, he only used me against lefties. Unless if, like, I like to say this just to joke around because it's funny, but it was like if we needed mop-up duty, I was out there. I would help out because that's just who I am. That's my nature. Is I want to get the ball. I want to do it. I don't care if I'm giving up 38 runs or I'm not giving up any runs. I want to be out there and help those guys as much as I possibly can. And he was more of he used the numbers, and he used them very well. Unfortunately, yes, we didn't go to the playoffs. We didn't win the World Series, all that. So I get it.
Now, I've been playing a lot of baseball with my kids in the backyard and out at the backstop near our house recently, because they got reinvested in the game a little bit, and they're more capable. One of the things that they hate is whenever I throw to them and they hit the ball far, they have to go get the ball. And I'm like, yeah, that's part of it. I spent most of my high school baseball career shagging balls and collecting buckets of balls. If you could figure out how much time you spent shagging and collecting balls, do you think you could put it into an amount of hours?
I think we should have tried to word that a little bit differently.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a personal problem.
I thought it was hot. I liked the way you said it.
Of course. Well, that's how – the thing is, I grew up that way, is just like you just said. Man, if I hit a ball, if it was out of my dad's reach, all right, you better believe I'm going to go get it. It's the same thing. Like, we got to – you know, these are things you got to work on. I mean, you can't just hit a ball and be like, all right, that's it, done. I'm not going to get that. So – I think it was cool that you could do that with him, but I kind of forgot the question because I got distracted by your ball comment.
How many hours have you shagged balls?
Oh, I've shagged balls for a long time. I mean, I've always been shagging balls. Shagging balls has been one of the things I've done as a pitcher, is just shagging balls.
What are you doing? This is our charity show, and it's 10 in the morning.
Well, I mean, you just asked me if I was shagging balls.
I did not ask any such questions, sir.
It's part of baseball,
that's
Kevin.
True. You've been pretty quiet this entire time, I'm not going to lie.
I've been letting his shenanigans run wild. Hey, I don't know if you can help us out with this, but y'all would have been in the same division for just a minute. Do you have any knowledge, or did you ever pitch against Kyle Gibson, formerly of the Twins, because he just signed with the Rangers?
Yeah, I saw that. I don't really know much about him, so I can't really – that's one thing I can't really help you with. I know he was with the Twins. The ballpark he was pitching in, definitely not pitcher-friendly. I don't know. That's about the best I can give you on that, I didn't really watch him.
Fair enough.
Hold on, that's interesting, though, real quick about
not pitcher-friendly
ballpark. Do you think the new ballpark for the Rangers is going to be pitcher-friendly or hitter-friendly?
So that's the thing. I think that's kind of intriguing to most free agents, is you don't know what the ballpark's going to bring. So you don't know what to expect. So a guy that's looking to get a long-term deal, they're going to look at that and kind of question what is it, because they don't know if it's going to be – if it's a hitter, they don't know if it's going to be very beneficial to them. As a pitcher, they don't know if that's going to hurt them. You know, those are some things that you kind of look into when you're looking at places to play. But at the same time, you also – you know that money talks, so that's the big thing.
Without getting into the specifics of anyone in particular, though, if they heard you talking a minute ago, I'm sure. No.
I know you guys talk about him a lot.
I mean, sure. Look, we shoot big. Rendon, Cole, we understand. Well, I want to
let me say one thing. I don't think it matters where Cole pitches. I don't know if you guys watched him pitch at all, but that guy throws absolute gas, and he's got nasty, I wish I could say the word, but rhymes with...
Stuff is good.
Yeah, stuff works. Stuff. He's got nasty stuff.
Hey, can you tell us anything about your... I know we talked about this off-air last month, about your contractual status. Are the Cubs... Are you locked into the Cubs for another year? Or what can you tell us about that?
Well, the fun fact, at my charity event, I even made this, you know, just to throw it out there. I am a free agent. I am not with the Cubs anymore. They declined the option, which I knew was going to happen. And as far as I know, yes, they would like to have me back. I don't really know. I'm not going to sit and say too much. But I made a comment saying it would be nice to come back home.
Interesting. Anything in particular that would spur your desire to come back home as opposed to, I don't know, a couple of years ago?
Well, it seems too now that from what I've talked to a couple of the guys that I know with the Rangers, that there are some analytics that are taking place.
Okay. All right.
There is definitely some spin rate stuff going on. There's some things that they had actually talked to me about when they first were trying to possibly get me to come back, was being a full-time reliever, and I wasn't ready for that. Now it's 100% go. I can, if you want me to spot start, I can do it, but I see myself now as more of a reliever.
What would coming back here mean to you? Like, outside of just baseball, I know you live here or you spend a lot of time here. What would be being able to come back to your de facto home mean?
Well, one thing I do want to say, that it sucked for me, was when I came home, I wanted to see the Rangers ballpark or the Globe Life. What is it called now? I don't know what it's called now.
Mm-hmm.
I
think it's still Globe Life, yeah.
Okay. I wanted to see the ballpark just because of the fact that, you know, I have some great memories here. This is where it all started for me. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, I could come here and see it before it got tore down. Well, unfortunately, when I got there, they were already doing this stuff for the XFL. So I got to make a slight post for it, but I think it'd be pretty cool to get to start back over here in Arlington as a reliever. In the new stadium, and it would be kind of cool just because I didn't get to be here for when they called me on the All Rangers Globe Life team.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be cool to start it back up again and be able to see the fans again and play in front of them as well.
Real quick, Derek, I know you do, and you know, we're doing Peace-a-thon today for My Possibilities, but you do some great work with 60 Feet 6, 60feet6.org. Anything you want to, you guys did some great stuff over at the Rustic recently.
Yeah, it was actually a really good event. We had a lot of fun. Had Josh Weathers singing for us, which he put on an unbelievable show.
Told
you. If you've never seen him, please check it out on YouTube. He's got some good stuff. One thing I would like to say, though, that was really cool. Sorry, I'm putting on a Luka jersey right now for my workouts today. Cause,
nice.
I represent, you know. But I want to say that I was actually – so obviously my foundation was about kids with cancer, and it all started because of Briggs Berry. But there's also a little girl – I don't know if you've seen it on my Instagram. I took her to Legoland, all that good stuff, had some fun with her. She's been going through some serious things, and I didn't think she was going to get to come and see me at the event, and she actually came and surprised me, and it shook me.
Wow.
I wasn't expecting it. I was not, you know, I was told the whole time that I probably would not be able to see her because they were going to try to get her in for her treatments, and unfortunately they couldn't get her in because the blood count was too low, if I'm correct. And so she actually showed up and surprised me, brought me this little mini unicorn, everything. And it made me break down when I was trying to give my speech, which my speech always makes me break down anyway. But to have somebody who I've become super close with, you know, tell me they weren't going to be able to come to the event, you know, due to the circumstances, which I understood, and actually show up and surprise me just shows what I've been doing and how much of an impact I've made on her. And it just meant so much more to me than, you know, what I've been doing. Like, it just changes everything for you. And I tell people all the time, if you can ever get a chance to interact with some kids that are going through these things, or for instance, you know, when I went with you guys to, man, what was that? What's that place called?
It was Hipster. It was Hipster Relay at My Possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So when we were there at the school, and you showed me everything, and, man, I had a blast. Like, I did. I dressed up in the donut suit. I surprised you guys.
And harassed me. Yes, I remember.
But, I mean, it's the thing is, people don't realize is when you interact with these people, it changes everything for you. It puts things into a different perspective because everybody always sits there and tells themselves they're not – I shouldn't say it like that, but they're not they don't worry about it until it affects them. But instead of waiting for it to affect you or get to you, go out there and help those that are already affected. You know, that's the main thing. It's like, for me, I want to do as much as I can to bring joy and happiness and take people away from those things because it's such a sad time. And if you can take people away from it, it changes everything. It makes everything so much better for these people that are going through these tough times. And I've been lucky enough to have you guys and all the other people that I've interacted with that got me to go get involved, they've changed everything for me. They've changed my perspective of how I need to carry myself and how I go about my business and realizing how important things are and how we can't just take life for granted. We don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know what can happen, you know, tomorrow or in an hour. We don't know any of that stuff. So we got to take advantage of it and live every moment to our fullest and have fun and embrace everybody that needs it.
Well, we appreciate that sentiment. We appreciate all your help consistently with My Possibilities and all the work you're doing with 60 Feet 6. That's 60feet6.org. Thank you so much, Derek.
No problem. Are you kicking me off the air now?
Yeah, you got to go, man. We got to go.
That is such
bull. Go work. Hey! Go work out. Get better. Get stronger and throw good and stuff.
I wanted to get back into analytics. I wanted to talk Mavericks. I wanted to talk Cowboys. Well, I was ready to do the whole, I thought I was getting hired by you guys.
More spin rate.
No,
more spin rate.
Once you sign with the Rangers, then we'll have all those conversations.
Yes, perfect. All right, I'll talk to JD about it.
There you go. Bye, Dutch.
Thank you, guys.
Derek Holland, we might get fined for tampering after that, Corey. I'm not entirely sure.
I will.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, could the Cowboys win their last five regular season games? And will they? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on Peace-a-thon on 105.3 The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we just uploaded a video on 105.3thefan.com/Peace-a-thon. Some people are asking what Peace-a-thon is. Some people are asking what My Possibilities is.
Ooh.
On 105.3thefan.com/peaceathon, there is a video of what the donations are going to be today for, and it's their capital campaign is the extra building on the campus that's going to help launch the students from My Possibilities into the working force, the workforce. If you go check out the video right now, it says help us reach our goal. It's right at the very bottom of the page, 1053thefan.com/peace-a-thon. And you can watch that video, and I guarantee you either your eyes are going to be welling up with tears or of joy, or you're going to be welling up with the desire to go and click the donate button and donate right now for the students at My Possibilities.
One of my favorite stories in the history of ever.
Do not tell this story.
I can tell part of it.
Don't tell the story.
I can tell a little bit of it. Is we brought Spittle a couple years ago to the hipster community ball, and he asked me, is this going to be one of those things that's going to make me feel really emotional and sad all night? And I was like, no. And I didn't think it would. Within the first 15 minutes, they showed this super emotional video, and I was like, oh my God. He just stared right at me. And we'll just leave it at that. But yeah, he just stared right at me, and I was like, oh, my bad.
And that the reason is they do great things.
And the people there are awesome.
Yeah, they're great people to work with. Actually, we'll have the executive director on today at 1:20. We'll be talking with him. Kevin, tomorrow is Cowboys and Buffalo Bills, and you'll get the official pregame show with Ari Temkin and our Brian Broaddus, the official pregame show before the pregame show, Zach and Eric. Brian Broaddus and Ari Temkin. Besides that, fantastic lineup. You're going to have Christy Scales with Jerry Jones, Mickey Spagnola with Jason Garrett, Brad and Babe live from the field and the booth. Mickey is going to be live on set. Christy is going to be live on the field. Chris Arnold with Tavon Austin. Fish live on set this week also. The incredibly talented Tracy Wolfson the field. And she's going to be on with broadcasters Jim Nance and Tony Romo for CBS. And then the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills, John Murphy, live from our booth. And don't forget the halftime show with Troy Hughes.
So my question is this then. Will the Cowboys win that game? Can and will they win their next five games?
There's no way around it.
Oh, okay. Good thing, too tall. 877-881-1053. Will the Cowboys win? Can they win the next five games? Will they win the next five games? Here's why I asked that. Is there 6-5 right now, as I'm sure you know. I was looking at the next five, and the Cowboys are going to be favored in every single one of them. So if you start strictly by ESPN's analytical win percentage, Cowboys odds of winning against the Bills, 79%. At the Bears, 61%. Hosting the Rams, 73%. At the Eagles, 53%. And hosting the Redskins, 94%. So the point is, they will be favored in their last five games. Do you believe the Cowboys can and will break out five straight and finish the season at 11-5?
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, 877-881-1053.
I'll start with you.
I don't.
Oh, no.
And the reason being, I think they might lose to the Redskins on accident just for simply not having anybody out there.
Because the division's already clinched?
I feel like you're going to be 9-7. I've said before, I think you can win this division at 8-8 because it's going to come down to essentially one game for you. The way that the Philadelphia Eagles are playing right now, it's going to come down to beating the Eagles in that game. I think you can win it at 8-8. You might win at 9-7, but I really am. I'm looking at it thinking that I think the Bears might give you a game. The Bills are going to give you a tough game this week. I think I said on the website, on our predictions page, 14-12 Bills. And that seems ridiculous, but also their defense is pretty good. And our offense has to prove to me that they're better. What?
I'm just trying to think.
We're kicking all the field goals, Kevin.
I think I predicted that the Cowboys lose 17-15 because I had us kicking five field goals.
I had us kicking four.
So see, yes, because the new captain field goal is maybe Jason Garrett now.
But I also am not saying that we're only going to attempt four field goals. Attempt seven.
No, I know Brett Maher. We're going to kick it from 30 yards.
But try even harder.
I think the Cowboys will lose one, if not two more games in the next five. But that being said, after what Jerry Jones said on Good Morning Football this morning, Kevin, that makes me change my mind a little bit because I think he has now officially lit a fire for the next five games and into the future of what the playoffs are.
Well, my buddy Thomas already texted in and he said, yeah, we're going to win the next five. I'm a little concerned about this Bills game because of the stat I threw out earlier. It's been since 1999 against the Dolphins, the last time the Cowboys beat a 700 win percentage or better on Thanksgiving. They have lost their last five. I think the Bears have quit on their season. And after this last week, I kind of feel like the Rams have quit on their season. Clearly, the Redskins have quit on their season.
Never, ever quit, guys.
Oh, well. I
was told not to do that by somebody.
Okay.
Somebody I respect a lot, by the way.
So that would put them at 9. But you need the right wins. Corey's right. You need to win that Eagles game. But I'll argue that if you win this Bills game, maybe you don't need to win that Eagles game. Because if you beat the Bills 7-5, Bears 8-5, Rams 9-5, beat the Redskins, that's 10. And you could lose to the Eagles and be 10-6, and the Eagles still might not make it to 9 wins. You know, I know their schedule is weak coming up, but you never know. You never know. They already have 6 losses. So if they lost one more game in the last 5, then you wouldn't even need to win that Eagles game.
Yeah. But I see that, and here's one of the things I look at with the Redskins game. I would prefer to treat that as your bye week because you're not getting one, right? You're not getting a bye week this year. So do everything you can right now to treat that as your bye week, and that way you can, you know, get out there, do whatever it takes to feel, you know, not have rust, but also get enough rest to say, okay, now the fourth quarter or, you know, the playoffs begin. This is the fourth quarter of our season. Maybe, Kevin, hold on, what quarter are we in? Is this the third quarter? If we're looking at it as far as the season is chopped up?
This is the end of the third quarter.
This is the end of the third quarter. The Cowboys should be, they're a third quarter team.
So that how come we're 1-2 in the third quarter so far, Corey?
It doesn't make any sense, Shippy. Like, why, they're a third quarter. You've been pointing that out all year, that they're a third quarter team.
And December.
Yeah, and that's
the fourth quarter. You got to hold up the four fingers.
Oh, yeah. So I do think I think maybe if they can do it in the fourth quarter, they can make a real difference.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget 105.3thefan.com/peaceathon if you want to bid or donate. We'll be doing that all day long. Coming up next, he used to be our friend and just a Maverick super fan. In the ensuing years, he has taken over the world of entertainment. It is Flula Borg will be on with us live next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.